Just reminding folks what we do. We're going through Luke on Sunday mornings, going through Psalms. We only have about five more weeks in Psalms on Sunday night. And then we will switch to 1 Corinthians on Sunday night. And then we will begin the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, I won't be here this Wednesday. We have Vacation Bible School the next Wednesday. We have a missionary the next Wednesday. So then August the 20th, we'll begin the book of Exodus. And so that'll be a great study for us. And just knocking on the door of Numbers, Leviticus. So we'll have a good time with that. Luke chapter 8, let's begin in verse 41. Verse 41, and last week, what a great, true account of Jesus and his love for this demon-possessed man over in Gadara, and what he did to that man's life. And just as Grant talked about in Sunday school, simple obedience, did what Jesus told him to do, and God did great things. Verse 41, Jesus is back. He comes back across the Sea of Galilee, and while it doesn't tell us in this passage, it tells us in the book of Mark, he comes to the city of Capernaum, however you want to say it, and that's kind of Jesus' earthly headquarters here on earth. He really didn't have a home to lay his head, but he seemed to spend more time in Capernaum. That's where Peter lived, and this synagogue would be in Capernaum. So Jerome Bev, that synagogue we saw, I don't think it was the original, but it was redone and then unearthed, so it was very, very old. A beautiful synagogue that a centurion built for the people of Capernaum, and that's where Jesus is as he comes back to across the Sea of Galilee. Verse 41, and behold, as he arrives there, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, so he's trying to get to Jesus, and the people are thronging, and just, I mean, it's such a crowd. They're just all around him, verse 43, at the same time. I don't know if I've ever consciously, I've gone over this story, I've preached this story, but I want you to just have this in your mind. I don't know if I've ever realized this, that Jairus was interrupted with the woman with the issue of blood. He had to wait. Jesus, he took care of this woman before he took care of Jairus. And what you're going to find this morning, and just reminded many of you, while Jesus was taking care of somebody else, his daughter died. Super fascinating that he observed. Jairus observed this healing that I'm just about to go into. And he gets, there's two completely different sets of instructions. Completely different for the woman with the issue of blood that was healed. Completely different from Jairus. So, let's just read verse 41, 42 again. Just, I know, because you haven't been reading it like I have. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So really impeding the progress to get to his house. It's also fascinating. Remember, Jesus didn't have to go to his house. Remember the previous centurion? He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Do you love this as well? He asked Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Sometimes we need to do what we don't need to do because it's the loving thing to do. We can learn from Jesus with that, right? He could have said, no need, Jairus. Taken care of. But he did what he didn't need to do because it would show love, it would show respect, it would show honor to a man that didn't deserve it. None of us deserve God to love us, but Jesus did. Look at verse 43. Right in the middle of this, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came from behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched, or it stopped, it healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, he must have said in a just a bold way, right? Just the way only Jesus, "Who touched me?" Now, not sinful or angry, but it would be something that would be like, "Oh, not me, no, no." And so, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me." Verse 47, and the woman saw that she was not hid. How did she find out she wasn't hid? I think Jesus looked at her and like, "Well, somebody touched me and virtue has left me. Wonder who it might be." She was more uncomfortable than you are right now, Isabella. And so I think he, with his eyes, Jesus and his eyes are so powerful. I'm convinced that he and Peter's eyes met when Jesus was in Caiaphas' house. It said Jesus looked upon him. It didn't say that Peter saw it, but I think he did. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus didn't have to say anything, just his eyes. Just his eyes. Verse 47. Let's start at verse 46. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now let me just give you this. I'm giving more commentary than I normally do. I like to read it, but this is just good. Why was it an issue that she touched him? She was unclean by Levitical law. And you understand this. I think everybody probably thought when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" They're used to the Pharisees. "Who touched me? It might make me unclean." No, Jesus didn't. What's amazing is she touched him. He didn't become unclean, but she became clean. You've got to understand, sometimes it is so cool to be reminded of the cultural realities that you don't go in the midst of people, according to their culture, according to Levitical law, when you have this issue, when you have this sickness, you have this disease. But she did. And look at verse 48. And he said unto her, "Daughter," pretty confident she's born again. Jesus doesn't call anybody a son or a daughter that's not born again. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I want you to note, and he didn't say, "Don't tell anybody." Very public. "Who touched me?" Very public what he did. I think she told a lot of people. Wouldn't you? Because I think she had her faith not only in her physical needs, but when Jesus calls her daughter, I think she understood who Jesus was, what he would do for her, and I'm convinced her faith was in him. I can't prove that, but I don't think it's super interesting, right? There's so many parallels between the Jairus' daughter and this woman. Who's 12 years old in here? 12! Who else? 12. Wow. He's 12. Who else is 12? Who else is 12? You're 12. You don't want to be 12 right now because I'm so. We have 12. Just 12. Are you 12? Jaren, are you 12? Is Jaren 12? Jaren 12? Okay. All right. Yes, I see that hand. You can put it down. And but it is 12 years old, right? 12 years old and only daughter. None of the 12-year-olds are the only daughter, only child. But so Jairus and his family loved their daughter. And when Jesus says damsel, it means little girl. They love their little girl. I can't wait to arrive this evening and see Elia. And so she's been FaceTiming more often. And, you know, three sleeps, Elia, three sleeps. And, she's a pill, man. I'm telling you this. I need to be ready for that, too. You know, because she's like, "I will not do anything," you know, but She's my sweetheart. 12 years they had. And then it's not coincidence. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Jairus and his family, I think children are a delight. Oh, man, they can be pain in the neck just like you can. But kids are a delight. They are a blessing of God. Parents, don't forget that. Don't forget that. I know you're like, I'd like you to be a blessing in a different address. But parents, kids are a blessing. We are in such a negative society that children are just so talked about negatively. But they enjoyed their daughter for 12 years. While this woman's in agony, and she had given all that she had, she was broke. Look at verse 49. It's so fascinating. Just watch the connection. It's so he is speaking. Look at verse 48, and he looks at the woman with the issue of blood. It says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake. You see this? So this is an amazing, true account. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Wow, you could be a little more gentle. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. He can't help you. If you are ever in a situation and you don't think Jesus can help you, you're wrong. He may not give you the help that you think you need, but I want to tell you, when you're in trouble, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can help you. It may not be the answer that you're looking for, but the only one that can help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have trouble, you need to be turned to the Lord, and so do I. This is bad counsel. Trouble not the master. You know what Jesus says? Trouble me. Trouble me. Oh, He's here to be troubled. I want to make something else clear too, that I love you guys. I am not too busy for you. I'm not. If I don't answer the phone, it's because I can't or I don't want to. Hopefully it's the first one. Text me. I will help you. I'm not too busy. I will tell you somebody that 100% isn't too busy. You'll never get the Lord, you know, send it to a voicemail. When you're troubled, trouble Him. It's a simple message of the Bible. I know what the devil will say. Oh, you haven't been walking with the Lord, so now you're having problems. You're going to go to the Lord? You know what the Lord says? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He doesn't say, hey, you've been walking with me? No, He says, come unto me. The devil will lie to you and say, God doesn't want to hear from you now. Oh, yes, He does. He wants me to have a repentant and a broken and contrite spirit. He does. I just want you to remember that. All these false notions that the devil puts in our head, that God doesn't want to hear from you, He wants to hear from you. The trouble is our stubbornness, not God's. Bad counsel, was it not? Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. This is our Savior, the God of the universe, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Can you imagine if God saved some of those that laughed him to scorn? That wouldn't surprise me, would it you? Because when they saw, he said, don't tell anybody. But those people saw the daughter walking later, right? You're in heaven, and the Lord's preaching this passage. You're like, oh, I'm going to go to the back. But God's so good, He'll save you if you've scorned Him. That's an amazing God, isn't it? Don't you dare scorn me. I'm not Jesus. Terrible. I should be. Right? You're going to get scorned, made fun of, and we need to respond like Jesus. But anyway, and they laughed Him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They knew that. She was dead. And He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, in verse 56. And her parents were astonished. That means taken off their feet. Floored, with how we might say it. They were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Title of the message this morning, Jesus and his response to the emergencies. Just if you're encouraged, when I went through this, I tried to account for the time. I really only have four thoughts this morning, so if that encouraged you as well. So let's just look at Jairus. Look at verse 41. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was, synagogues were put in every community. You won't find synagogues commanded in the Bible, but Jesus seems to, anytime there's reading of God's word, study of God's word, worship of the king, he's supportive of it. Synagogues became common in Israel. And I think, I didn't look this up beforehand, I think it was if there were 10 Jewish men over age 30, you could have a synagogue in your community. Now, Capernaum was a large community, and this synagogue was it was an extravagant synagogue. The centurion didn't mess around when he built it, and it was amazing. It was very cool, very cool. So Jairus was the ruler of that synagogue, a significant synagogue. He was an important man. I want you just to understand, and it's not a point, but Jesus he's reminding us that he's no respecter of persons. You don't get more zero hero than the woman with the issue of blood. I'm imagining, if Jesus is being thronged, what's she doing? She's crawling on the ground, I guess, right? She is so humbled that she's crawling on the ground, probably irritating everybody, and she's crawling on the ground, and nobody knew her. The Bible doesn't even give her name. Oh, but God knows. You say you're a zero hero, God cares for you. I'm telling you, he doesn't care for you if you're important. That's not why he cares for you. He's just a great God. And so I love this, that the ruler of the synagogue, and one of the things I see in verse 41, do you love this? Look at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. I love this, and I need to look in the mirror every day and say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. A key to honoring God is humbling ourselves. I may be the pastor of Hope Baptist Church, but I'm a zero hero, period. There's nothing. I'm not any different than anybody in this room. I will be held more accountable and justly so, but I want you to understand this. What I need every day, I need humility. I need to fall on my face, fall on the ground before the Lord, and understand this. Without him, I can do nothing, period. You pray for me. I guess it's not too dangerous. I don't know if I want you. Oh, God, humble pastor. How about this? So, yeah, God won't listen to you if he doesn't want to. But it's just truth. I just spoke truth. I'm really right. Because he's not going to do something just because you ask a stupid thing, right? But you can pray this. Oh, God, help Pastor Steve humble himself before you today. I want to do it. I don't want God to have to do it. You see, we got to be super careful. Got to be super careful. I love that about Jairus, but he was a somebody. But he really wasn't. He was as much a nobody as the woman with the issue of blood. I want you to just understand this. Look at verse 42. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. It's just, it's a scene that, Stephen mentioned it yesterday, the heavenly Blu-ray, right? Whatever. I can't wait. Maybe we'll get to see this. God will show it to us in heaven. What was that scene? I was triggered this past week in this thought. It's not necessarily an original thought, but I was triggered with it. It was like, oh, bumping into Jesus is far different than having faith in him. You follow me? There were a ton of people that were bumping into Jesus. They were thronging him. I'm super concerned, and I need to look in the mirror as well. Am I bumping into Jesus today, or is my faith truly in him? I'm not talking for eternal life. I want you to know this. The only way you're going to go to heaven is you must repent, you must turn from your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then every single day, we must trust in the Lord and have faith in Him. You know what I loved when you guys came up? And it's probably not good for me to say His name. I'll try to avoid that, right? The unknown baby, or the unnamed baby. I love just looking at you guys. Your eyes were watering. And I love this. It's like you have no clue what tomorrow is going to look like. And you're tired. You look tired. No, I'm just... But is it helping you? I want you to enjoy it during the journey. Let it draw you to the Lord. It's going to benefit Braylon, and I know that's what you want. You want to exalt Christ and honor Him. But I think it's going to benefit you too. Eli, let it benefit you. I know. It's like, whoa, man, Everly, let it benefit you, right? Let it draw you to the Lord. There's going to be times you're like, Mommy's not spending time with me. She loves the unnamed baby more than me. It's not true, but it'll feel that way, right? I want you to go to the Lord, okay? I want you to enjoy the Lord, and I want you to love your mom and dad and be part of this for the Lord, right? How old are you? 8. Just testing because you're at junior camp, making sure she got the cutoff. But it's, can you serve the Lord now? Or do you have to wait till you're 18? Right now. God's given you a great opportunity, a challenge to trust in Him, right? And to, the way we honor Him is by faith. I ask you this. Are you just bumping into Jesus? Or is your faith truly in Him? You see, oh Christian, I can talk to you as well. You see, we get our way of life. We get, you know, just the way we live, and we get comfortable with that. Let me tell you, if you know you're just bumping into Jesus, how did you exalt Him this past week? When we're right with Jesus, we will exalt Him. Not ourselves, we will exalt Him. And it's been a week of activity. And I love it, and God's going to bless you. I told Zach, I said, Zach, God's going to give you fruit because of this parking lot. Should have stopped right there, right? I said, in comparison to you doing Bible studies, this parking lot is teeny weeny. I still want Zach to teach people about Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. I get emotional with your sacrifice and your sacrifice and your sacrifice. Giving up your dad. And I don't want to abuse it. And I've crossed that line a long time ago, right? But I want you to understand this. God's going to bless you. But this is part of serving the Lord. I love it. Man, yesterday, it's just the spirit of our folks. It was wonderful. It is. I don't know if you have the same perspective I have as a pastor. I enjoy it. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just thankful. God has blessed us. Let's use that unity. Let's use that harmony so that we can go and reach the world. It's not about just for us. You understand that? If we're just bumping into Jesus, then we'll leave it with us. We're like, kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. That means come by here, right? But it's, God says, go. I love what we have, but we just can't be bumping into Jesus. Our faith needs to be Him every day. You know, I'm just burdened. I've been praying about it for months now, and I'm not going to stop. For those of you that are lost in our midst, I'm thankful you come week after week after week. I'm thankful. You're not going to heaven because you come to church week after week after week. I am burdened. I would resign in a heartbeat if I'm getting in the way of some of our young people and some of our adults getting saved. It's not enough to enjoy the things of God. Do you know Christ personally? It's the question of eternity. Do you know Him, or are you just bumping into Him? Second thing I want you to see, I want you to just drop down to verse 50. I so love this. This I've got new themes for our church every time I preach a message. Here's another theme. Fear not, believe only. You see that in verse 50? Your daughter's dead. The worst news Jairus could ever get. Your daughter's dead. You know what dead is? It's final, isn't it? And Jesus says, fear not, believe only. That's impossible, but it's not with God. Fear not, believe only. I want you to be clear. Believe in what? Believe in what? Somebody help me. Believe in what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Christ. Not believing that I can do great and mighty things. You see, I think when we pray, we go to Him and we go, I believe you're going to, you know, fix my knee. You're going to fix this problem. Nope, I'm not going to fear, and I'm going to believe in you, whatever happens. That is what faith is about, believing in Christ. You understand that? I've been through these gymnastics all my life. I've got to believe that God's going to answer my prayer. And when I do, you know, He's going to answer it. If I preach that way, oh, I've hurt you. He's not. He's saying, do you trust me? Fear not. Believe only. Fear not. Believe only. Fear not. Believe only. I get emotional. I'm humbled. The parking lot's turned out better. I know. You're like, Steve, get over the parking lot. Guys, it's an emotional thing for me. I've been stressed because I was fearing. All things, you know, I told you this, preached it a couple weeks ago. I preach what I need and just pre-pray. I listen to my own preaching. It is, I make up stuff. And then I plan for stuff I make up. This is how I respond. And God's like, how many angels do we have helping him? Send another one. Fear not. And here's the key. I hope this is breakthrough for you. You're not having faith to get your way. Do you feel that way sometimes? I think sometimes it's preached that way, right? If you believe, He'll do what you want. No. I can't cover all the verses that are running through your minds. You can ask me questions about later. It's fear not and believe in Him. And I know, ask and you shall receive. I can't preach everything. Fear not, believe. I want you to understand this. If you remember two things, fear not. There's enough reasons to have fear. It's good to see you this morning. Were you close to your grandpa? And so just pray for Jaden. Pray for Jolie. I don't know if Jordan's here. But I want to tell you this, I love that you're here. I don't know, it was probably difficult. This is a place to come. Fear not, believe in Christ. Fear not, believe in Christ. It's the key to life. There's going to be surprises hit us. Sometimes we're going to get the phone call and says, they're dead. Joy got that phone call. Fear not. Believe in Christ. Two more thoughts, and I'll get quickly. Mocking and discounting Jesus causes us to miss out on special blessings. Look at this in verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn when he said, weep not, she is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn knowing she was dead. And he put them all out. Leave. You don't get to see this. Leave. You don't get to see this. I want you to understand this. Now, I said mocking and discounting because I know we don't mock Christ directly, but I think we discount Him all the time. I want you to understand this. Don't discount Christ. You want to be part. How many of you would love to have been there when He rose Jairus' daughter from the dead? How many of you would like to be there? Well, there were five. Peter, James, and John, Mom and Dad, six counting Jesus. They were privileged, were they not? Those that mock, you guys can leave right there. They missed out. They discounted Christ. They discounted Christ. I want to tell you this. When we discount Christ and what he can do and how much he loves and how much he cares and just obey. The Sunday school lesson this morning, it's just obey. Simply obey. Obey with no strings attached. It's just obey. And I love this, Ron. It's such a good comment at the end that you said, and God would have given him the card to grant anyway, right? And so could have saved $30. Just listen to Ron next time. Pray and then call Ron. That's not what you meant. I know that because it's the goodness of God. We got to be careful, right? That I don't preach do to get, right? God's going to bless every time. But it's this. You discount God, he's not punishing you. You just won't be part of special things. We don't believe what God says. We won't get to be part of special things. I'm praying with all my heart that God will do special things at Vacation Bible School. I don't know. I don't know if he's ever done super special things at Vacation Bible School with the children. I want to see God just do great things with children. I'm not looking for emotional things. I'm looking for true salvation. Part of me says the best things that happen at Vacation Bible School are that we've done great special offerings for the missionary that we have focused on. And I love that. I want to do that again. But you know what I want to do? I want to see great special movement. And I wonder, am I not able to see that because somehow I'm discounting God, not obeying him? You know how I mock God? My sin. My sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'll tell you this. Just stop thinking and obey. God wants us to think. But when it's clear what he wants us to do, obey. Final thought. Obeying Jesus with the radical commandments. I probably could have put a better word after that. Verse 56. And her parents were astonished, floored. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. One of my favorite songs is probably not a great song by Don Francisco, I got to tell somebody. It's from the 70s. It sounds 70s. YouTube it later today and you'll be like, whoa, I'm thankful for our music today. But it's it was reenacting in a song the story of Jairus. And it's like, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. You know, and you know, I'm going to write the same song. I got to disobey Jesus. I got to disobey Jesus. Because that's really what the song's about. But the song's about this. How tough would it be? Imagine little girl dies. Jesus raises them from the dead. Don't tell anybody. I don't know if I can truly explain it. I just know this. I love your thoughts, how to explain it. Here's the key. Just obey. He said, don't tell anybody about this. You know what they should do? Not tell anybody about that. When God tells us to do something that's hard, it doesn't matter how it's hard because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the Bible says, I'm a good God. What he did when he said, don't tell anybody, would be good for them. Yes, Bill, would that be good for them? That seems nuts, does it not? Can you imagine somebody like me? Don't tell anybody. Okay, shoot me. Right? Don't tell anybody. Who thinks they're the quietest person in this room? Oh, yeah. No, Adam did. Adam did. Adam, come on up here. No, I'm just kidding. Adam, you would struggle not telling somebody, right? So, oh, there we go. Man, Mr. Talker. It's like, whoa. It is... When we read the Bible and God tells us to do things, do it, and then you'll love it. I didn't say you'll love it the first day, the first time we obey God. Do you think they struggled day one? Hey, I heard something about your daughter. Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's all right, man. It's all right, yeah. What happened to your daughter? I'm going inside, all right? I'm just going inside. And I mean, but after a while, I don't know. I trust that Jairus will be in heaven. I'll say, Jairus, how tough was it? And then I'm going to ask him, I'll say, what good did God bring out of that made you shut up? And I think I'll be able to hear the glory of God. God tells us to do radical things. God tells us to do hard things. You know what we should do? Stop thinking and just obey. Fear not. Believe only. Obey. I'll close with this. It's, oh, Christian, why do we live? It needs to be for Christ. That's all that matters. Living for Him. He's worthy. He's a great God. And we can trust Him. I titled the message, Jesus' Response to Two Emergencies. Different, but immersed in love and compassion, right? When you and I respond, we're allowed to respond different. But it should always be immersed in love and compassion. Let's pray. Father, I...